ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. కఠోపనిషత్ పార్ట్ 2 సెక్షన్ 3 శ్లోక 8. అవ్యక్తాత్తు పరపురుషః వ్యాపకో లింగ ఏవ చ. అవ్యక్తాత్తు పరపురుషః వ్యాపకో లింగ ఏవ చ. యజ్ఞాత్వా ముచ్యతే జంతుః అమృతత్వం చ గచ్ఛతి. యజ్ఞాత్వా ముచ్యతే జంతుః అమృతత్వం చ గచ్ఛతి. సో యాస్ వి వర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్, the blankness that we experience when we suspend all our sensory operations, emotional, intellectual activities, etc., we experience the blankness. Vedanta says the blankness is not nothingness, but it is the potentiality of the whole creation, and the whole creation is in potential form, is the subtlest state of matter called avyaktam. So in this shloka, avyaktattu parapurushaha, that avyaktam is that it can be called prakriti, it can be called maya. And the teacher says, subtler than the blackness, which is the subtlest form of matter, atma, the consciousness, is subtler than the subtlest matter, which is nothing but the blankness which you experience when you suspend the mind and the indriyas. Then the question will be, where to find that? The subtlest. The subtler than the subtlest. Vedanta says, no, you can reach up to blankness. You can objectify blankness also. The Atma, which is subtler than the blankness, is never objectifiable. Then what is that Atma that is subtler than the blankness? That will be the question. He says, that which is aware of that blankness, the one that is aware of that blankness, that awareness is subtler than the blankness. When you see that I am experiencing nothingness, you cannot say it is nothingness, because the nothingness is experienced by something. Then how do you call that there is nothingness? It is coming to the hall and saying there is nobody has come. How can you say that nobody has come? You are there to say no one has. That means someone has come. So when you say no one has come, it means no one other than you has come. In the same way, when we talk about blankness, it means there is nothing other than myself. And that I who am the awareness of the blankness, who is aware of the blankness, whose existence can never be questioned, because the very experience of the blankness is possible because I, the experiencer, is there. That I, this unobjectifiable I, that is the real I. And therefore, Yamadharmaraja says, avyaktattu parapurushah, superior or subtler than, avyaktattu, or interior to this avyakta, the blankness called karana shariram, karana prapancha, otherwise called anandamaya kosha, purushah, the real, the I, the conscious principle. And why I am called the purushah? I think we saw two meanings for the word purushah earlier in the Gita. Number one, I am obtaining in the body, so purushaha. I am residing in the body. Puru means body and shaha means indweller, so I am purushaha. And second meaning is, I am outside the body also, so I am called purushaha. Here purushaha means purayati sarvam, iti purushaha. So when we say inside the body, puri shethe iti purushaha. And when we say outside the body, పూరయతి సర్వం ఇది పురుషః. సో ఐ యామ్ అంతః బహిః చ. That is why in Tamil it is called Kadavul. Kadavul is a beautiful term. Naan kadandum ulleyum irukkiren. I am away, I am inside also. Antar bahischatat sarvam vyapya narayana sthitaha. That narayana chaitanyam, I am. So I am purushaha. What type of consciousness it is? Vyapakaha. It is all pervading. Annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya are all finite. But once I come to consciousness, I can say, I am all pervading. Just as the wave, when it identifies with the superficial form, it has to say, I am a finite wave. But if the wave learns to disidentify from the superficial form and learns to identify with water, then the very wave can say, I am the water which is all pervading. Then the very wave can say, I am all pervading. Najayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha ajo nityaha shashvatoyam puranaha. The wave can say, I am birthless and deathless also. So when one wave says, I am perishable, another wave will say, I am imperishable. How can there be this disparity? One wave has identified with its superficial nature, nama rupa. The another wave has identified itself with its essential nature, the substantial nature, which is water, which we should identify with us. That is our choice. So identifying with superficial nature, then we become miserable. Identifying with our own real nature, we will get peace, shantihi. And that is our choice only. So vyapakaha, all pervading. Then alingaha evacha. The word linga here means an attribute. And alinga means attribute less. All the attributes that I talk about, they belong to what? To the pancha koshas only. Annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya koshas only. And any description that we give for ourselves is for the panchakoshas only. We can talk about the date of birth, you know, stuck with annamaya. If we talk about our hunger, thirst, etc., we are stuck with pranamaya. If we talk about our emotions, worry, happiness, stuck with manomaya. If we talk about our knowledge and confusion, vijnanamaya. If we talk about our sleepy condition, anandamaya. So any description that we give really does not belong to the real me. We are mistaking the attributes of the superficial body as our attribute. Then what is my attribute? Alingaha. I am nirguna chaitanyam eva. Name dvesha ragau, name loba mohau, madonaiva manai, mamenaiva matsarya bhavaha. That's what Shankaracharya said. I don't have any of those problems at all. Alingaha evacha. Yanyatva, the seeker who recognizes this purusha alone, if for that person, jantuhu. Yamadharmaraja calls every human being as a jantu. It's a creature. Why jantuhu? Jantu means what? It means subject to mortality. Jayate iti jantuhu, the one who is born. Anything that is born will have to die also. As long as I identify with body, I claim what? A date of birth for me. I celebrate. They do Ayushya Homam, Mrityunjaya Homam for me. All that they do. All this mean what? I am a jantuhu. I am declaring to everyone, when I celebrate my birthday, I am jantuhu. I proudly proclaim also. Then Yamadharmaraja says, if you are a jantu, I will swallow you. Because wherever janma, there is maranam also. There is death also, wherever there is birth. Therefore, this jantuhu, one who is mortal now, will have to come to know this immortal I. And once I know this immortal I, muchyate, I am released from the notion of mortality. I am not released from mortality. Why? We should be very careful. Because I was immortal. I am immortal. I will ever be immortal. I never had mortality to get rid of. That I am mortal is a notion that I nourish by falsely identifying with the mortal body. So mortality is not a fact, it is a notion. And therefore, I get released from what? Not from mortality, but from the notion of mortality. So jantuhu muchyate. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritam gamaya. And once I am released from mortality, what do I enjoy? Amrutattvam cha gacchati. Once the notion of mortality goes away, then I can own up my natural immortality. Amrutattvam. I don't get immortality. Be careful. If I get, it will be lost also. If anything that is got in time will be also lost in time. The notional mortality is gone. I own up my natural immortality. Like, for example, if you remove the impurities from the gold acquires a shine. The shining is not an acquired property. Shining is its natural property only. The natural shining was obstructed by impurities. Similarly, my natural immortality is obstructed by the notion of mortality. That is why we say samsara is the problem of a notion and so an intellectual problem. It is not a spiritual problem because spirit or atma has no problem at all. But it is an intellectual problem regarding the spirit, my own higher nature. And an intellectual problem can be solved only by what? Only intellectually. That is why we insist upon the study of scriptures so much, because knowledge alone can remove any false notion of mortality. Shloka 11. Nasandrishe tishtati rupamasya sa chakshusha pasyati kaschanainam. Nasandrishe trishtati rupamasya sa chakshusha pasyati kaschanainam. Hridamanisha manasabikluptaha. Hridamanisha manasabikluptaha. Ya etat viduramrutaste bhavanti. Ya etat viduramrutaste bhavanti. So here, the next condition for gaining self-knowledge is talked about by Yamadharmaraja. What are the conditions? The conditions that we have already seen. Number one, human birth. A person has to be a human being to realize, to get self-knowledge. Fortunately, we all have got it, human birth. So only we have to use it. That's the only thing remaining with us. And the second thing is, Atma, Anatma, Viveka should be done. Only then Aham Brahmasmi will appear meaningful. We should have the Viveka Shakti. Otherwise, the teacher will appear as talking nonsense or absurd. Because the student remains in the body and the teacher says that you are Brahman. He will think, I am sitting here. The teacher says, I am all pervading. How is it possible? So it appears as an absolute absurdity. But when the teacher says, you, the finger should penetrate all the five koshas and rest in Chaitanyam, then you are all pervading will fit perfectly. So, Tvam Pada Viveka is the second condition for Tat Pada Aikyam. And concentrated listening is the third condition. Chitta Ekagrata. A deep and complete mind should be available for comprehending. A tremendous listening ability is involved because the teacher is taking through a journey. Annamaya to Pranamaya to Manomaya to Vijnanamaya to Anandamaya. It is a big journey. Suddenly imagine the student is in Manomaya Kosha. Teacher is going forward. For example, husband and wife carrying some load. Husband talking, you know, and wife is resting behind. Similarly, teacher goes on talking. Imagine one set of students are still in Annamaya Kosha. Another is in Pranamaya Kosha. The poor teacher, he is telling Tattvamasi. It won't work. And so the student should very carefully go along with the teacher. So when the teacher says Tattvamasi, the student should say, I, and the I must refer to the Chaitanyam, which is inherent in the body. And so special mind is required, which is deep and total. generally we do not listen totally at all. We all have a dissipated mind. Swamiji says a dissipated mind. For one person, 20% of the mind is somewhere else. For another, 20% is somewhere else. 30% is somewhere else. And that is why often things are not registered in the mind. Because the chitta ekagrata is not there. The focus is not there. Attention is not there. That is why total and deep mind is required to listen to the teaching. And if this is done, shravana matrena jnanam siddhyati. The Mahavakya, the shravanam, is capable of penetrating the mind of the student and the student registering the teaching also. We do have such concentration in certain important affairs though. Or we imagine, for example, a biopsy report is to come. When a person is listening to that, think of his mind. Because the result is going to determine my life and death. How the person totally and deeply engrossed listening to the report. Even 2-3 days before, the thought will be centered only on that. If the report is to come day after tomorrow, right from the very day the biopsy time sample is taken, right from that minute, a person's attention, concentration is only on that report. Imagine the state of mind of that person. Do we have such a mind when we listen to Tattvamasi, when it comes through a developed teaching? If we can enjoy such a total and deep mind, then the teacher says the teaching will instantaneously register in our mind. Or they give the example of Parikshit Maharaja. He wanted moksha. He wanted liberation. How many days he has? Only 7 days. So question of life and death for him. How intensely he wanted to listen and gain this, you know, this is gain this wisdom, this knowledge to, you know, Bhagavatam. And Yamadharmaraja, he wants to call such a mind, you know, Hrin Manit. So that's what he said. It is a technical word used for which was previously called Sukshma Buddhi. Sukshma Buddhi, the subtle buddhi, deep and total intellect. And why such intellect is required? Because the subject matter is what? Is the subtlest subject matter. Subtler than the subtlest subject matter. Sukshmatamam is the vastu here. Sukshmatamam, not even sukshmataram. It is not comparative, it is superlative. Not available for any sensory perception. So, in the first two lines, Yamadharmaraja, he says, Brahman is the subtlest thing in creation. And therefore, the mind required also should be the subtlest. So, asya rupam sandrishe na tishtati. The nature of Brahman does not fall within the range of perception. Rupam, rupam here means swarupam. From that is very clear that whatever falls within the domain of perception is not Brahman. In Kan Upanishad it is said, Yaha chakshusha na pasyati, yena chakshugumshi pasyati, tadeva brahma tvam viddhi neda yaditam upasate. So if anyone claims that I have seen, I have heard, I have talked to intimately, they are not talking about absolute Brahman. In Tamil they say, kandavar vindilar, vindavar kandilar. The person who says, I have seen, he has not seen. The person who has seen, he has not spoken. So, they are talking about Saguna Ishvara, which is not the absolute reality. All these people, they are not talking about absolute reality. Saguna Ishvara is available for darshanam, sparshanam. One can touch, one can feel. But what the Upanishad says is, that is only an intermediary state. Whatever you see is not the ultimate, because the ultimate is not available for perception. And therefore, Kaschana yenam chakshusha na pasyati. No seeker can see that Brahman through either ordinary eyes or extraordinary eyes. Nobody can see. Why? Because what is seen is only anatma, is not atma. Anatma is only an object. And if it is not available for sensory perception, how can that be known? It can be known only through Guru Shastra Upadesha. Just as the eye can see one's own eye by only one method. If I want to see my eye, how can I see my eye? There is only one method. I have to use a mirror. There is no other method. And the extraneous things also cannot be anything you like. It should be a special thing. It should be a mirror which is capable of reflecting my eyes. Then only I can see my eyes. Similarly, if I have to know myself, there is no instrument available to help me. I have to use Shastra Darpana, the mirror of the Shastras, the Shastraic teaching, that alone will help me. Not only I should have the proper mirror, I should have the proper eyes also. So you require a good mirror and you have to have a good pair of eyes. If you don't have a good pair of eyes, you cannot see the image in the mirror. Mirror is very good, no eyes, that is no good. Eyes are very good, no mirror, that is no good also. So you require both. That's why this is a sloka. Yasya nasti swayam prajnam shastram tasya karoti kim. Lochana abhyam vihinasya darpanaha kim karishyasi. What can a mirror do if the eyes are not good enough? Okay. If a person does not have eyes. So similarly, here also, the Shastraic teaching is the mirror. A qualified mind is the eye, the inner eye. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti Antakaranam is required and Shastram is required. Both are required. So only when these two come together, Jnanam will come. So there should be good teaching and a good intellect also. Teaching without good buddhi is useless. Good buddhi without teaching also is useless. So what is the nature of buddhi? Krida Manisha. Manisha, intellect. By a prepared, sensitized, subtle, deep and total intellect, a person knows the subtle Brahman, which is subtler than the subtlest. Manit means buddhi. Manisha. Manisha is the third case, Tritiya Vibhakti. So, with the help of a subtle intellect, and where is the intellect located? Hrida, in our heart. So, with that, Manasa, with the insight given by the teacher, we have to be careful. Here, manaha does not mean mind, but the insight or cognition, the right understanding. So, samyak darshanam is called manaha here. So, with the help of the proper understanding, which is gained with the help of a qualified mind, a prepared qualified mind, manasa abhikliptaha, the Brahman which is lighted up by, which is illumined by proper understanding. Samyak darshanenam prakashitaha. So here samyak darshanam is the torchlight. That is alone, that is shown by the guru. The guru is the one who shows this torchlight. Guru Upadesha is the light and the focused mind is the observer. So intellect also is required and someone has to light it also. And the lighting up job is done by whom? By the guru, because he has the torchlight. The torchlight is the methodology of communication. The sampradaya, he is a sampradaya with, who has come through the sampradaya. That sampradaya way of communication, of the non-communicable that easily. So that the teacher knows, because he has come through the parampara and he knows that communication trick. So manasa abhikliptaha abhiprakashahasan etad viduhu. One has to know. Okay, what will I get out of it if I know? Te amrutaha bhavanti. They become immortal. They own up the immortality which is their very nature. That's what they do. Shloka 10. Yata panchavatishtante jnanani manasasaha buddhischanani vicheshtate tamahu paramam gatim. So, Shloka 10 and 11, the Upanishad talks about yoga abhyasa, a mental exercise or discipline that is called meditation, by which one can develop a deep and a total mind, Chitta Ekagrata, and which has got 100% attention for not just 1 or 2 minutes, for a length of time, the ability to focus. So, to develop such an intellect, Yoga Vyasa is talked about in Veda itself. And this yogic discipline has been developed into a well-designed system by whom? by sage Patanjali in the form of Ashtanga Yoga. And this Ashtanga Yoga is accepted in our tradition for the purpose of preparing the mind. Should be careful, this is not for moksha, for preparing the mind. And in this Ashtanga Yoga, they talk about the culmination of the meditation exercise as total absorption in a chosen field or object. And this is called Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, or absorption in a chosen field. And this yoga abhyasa is accepted as one of the disciplines to sharpen the intellect. The mind has been, intellect has been sharpened. But in the case of Ashtanga Yoga, the object of meditation is generally in the form of various chakras in the body. And generally, that part of yoga, we don't talk of it in Vedanta. We're focusing in all chakras and all, we don't talk in Vedanta, because we are not interested in meditation on various chakras. We don't criticize that, or we don't dismiss it, or we are not either favor or against it. But we say, we don't require them for Vedanta. Then what do? We club this yoga abhyasa along with upasana. And what do there? We practice the same meditation, but instead of using the chakras, we use any devata as an object of meditation, like Rama, Krishna, Mahaganapati, all that. Thus, Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam is mixed with yoga abhyasa to develop Chitta Samadhanam, or focusing ability. We don't want to talk about that here. We have done some of it actually in our 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in that discussion. So those who are interested, because we already completed 6th chapter, they can go back and look at there. So Bahiranga Sadhana, Antaranga Sadhana, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, Savikalpaka Samadhi, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, all those things. And from Tattva Bodha also, Chitta Samadhanam is one of the qualifications included in Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. Viveka Vairagya Samadhi Shatka Sampatti. Darshama Dhamma Uparama Titiksha Shraddha Samadhanam. Chitta Samadhanam. That Samadhanam, that focusing ability, which is one of the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattis, that is developed through Yoga Abhyasa or Samadhi Abhyasa. So, in Vedanta, Samadhi Abhyasa is practiced for gaining Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, generally associated with Upasana. It's a preparatory step. From this, we must be clear that Yoga or Samadhi Abhyasa is never prescribed for self-knowledge. They are only preparations. According to us, self-knowledge is only through Guru, Shastra, Upadesha or Vedanta Shravana. Krishna never comes through Samadhi, Abhyasa, or Upasana, or Ashtanga Yoga. Then what is the purpose? It is for gaining Sadhana, Chatushtaya, Sampatti. So knowledge never comes through any of these things, either through Samadhi, Abhyasa, or Upasana. It is only through Sadhana, Chatushtaya, Sampatti, and pursuing Jnana Marga. Similarly, we don't accept Samadhi, Abhyasa, even for Moksha also. Moksha can be gained only through Jnanam, which can be gained only through Vedanta Shravana. So, Samadhi Abhyasa is not for Jnanam nor Moksha, but to polish the instrument. Similarly, Samadhi Abhyasa, we don't prescribe for mystic experiences, because according to us, mystic experience has nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or liberation. People can get all kinds of mystic experiences, but they have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or Moksha. We should be very, very clear and very careful. This has been already told actually in the 6th chapter when we had elaborate discussion at that time. We are repeating it since it is very important. We don't dismiss mystic experiences. We accept the possibility of all types of mystic experiences. This is Vedantin. But we say it has nothing to do with either spiritual knowledge or liberation. A person can be happily liberated without going through any of those mystic experiences at all. He requires purity, he should require the focusing ability, should be able to follow the Shastraic teaching and gain wisdom. And that wisdom is more than enough for happily being liberated. So Samadhi Abhyasa mixed with yoga is for what? Is for preparing the mind for developing the listening skills with attention and focus, so that I can listen with deep, total and unrestricted, undistracted mind. And so Yamadharmaraja talks about yoga in two shlokas, 10 and 11. And in the first verse he says, that is the culmination of yoga abhyasa or upasana. What is the culmination of yoga abhyasa or upasana? The culmination is absorption in the object of meditation. If you are visualizing, for example, Rama or Krishna as an object, you can gradually get absorbed even to such an extent that you are dead to the surroundings. You are not aware of the surroundings even. In fact, you can have this in any field, for example. Need not be Rama or Krishna. You can watch chess players. Focusing is a capacity we have and we can develop it. But instead of using a material context, we want to use God as an object of meditation so that we can get both the benefits. One is drishtapalam and the other is adrishtapalam. In chess, if you play chess, you won't get the adrishtapalam. You will get the drishtapalam. You will get only the visible result. But because of that absorption, here you can get punyam also and focusing ability also both. And this absorption is called samadhi, and that is described here in this particular shloka. In fact, we can say that these two shlokas are the background verses for Krishna to teach the sixth chapter. If we recall the example Krishna gave for the absorption in the sixth chapter, what he said? Yata dipo nivatastaha nengate sopamasmritam yogino yata chittasya injato yoga matmanaha. As a flame does not flicker in a windless place where there is no air, so also there is no moving wind. So also the meditator with a disciplined mind practices the meditation of the Lord. Like a lamp, a flickerless flame. That samadhi is described here in this shloka. Panchajnanani avatishtante. As the culmination of the meditation or upasana, jnanani here refers to indriyani, the five sense organs, not knowledge. Here it is, jnanam does not refer to knowledge, it refers to the indriyas, jnanendriyas. Karma vittatim, so jnayate anena iti jnanam. Manasa saha avatishtante, remain without distraction. So both the mind and sense organs, then avatishtante, remain without distraction. That should go with jnanani. Panchajnanani. And not only the sense organs and mind are absorbed, buddhischa na vicheshtate, the intellect, buddhi, also does not think of anything other than the object of meditation. Buddhischa na vicheshtate, remains focused, converts, absorbed, still. Not thoughts. It has got only one thought, which is called sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. In Vedanta it is called sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. The same thought is repeated again and again and again, all the time. And this state of absorption, there also, you know, it is divided into two, savikalpaka and nirvikalpaka samadhi. So deliberate absorption is called savikalpaka. And as a result of deliberate absorption, when it becomes natural and spontaneous absorption, where you don't require a will. So will has receded, your free will has receded, because the mind is naturally in that, spontaneous. That stage is called Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. And this Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is what? Paramam Gatim. Paramam Gatim. It is the highest goal of Yoga Abhyasa. When a person does yoga abhyasa, this is the highest goal. It is not the highest goal of life. Understand that? Highest goal of yoga abhyasa. Once you have got this faculty, the yoga abhyasa's function is over. Then what we have to do? Because yoga abhyasa can bring you up to this, not to moksha. And with such a well-equipped mind, Vedanta begins. What is Vedanta? Shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. At the end of yoga abhyasa, Vedanta begins, because yoga abhyasa can only prepare the equipment. It is not equivalent to either jnanam or moksha. Yoga abhyasa is not either of them. So paramam gatim means the highest goal of yoga abhyasa. The same idea actually is repeated in the next shloka also, that we will read. Tam yoga miti manyante स्थिरामिन्द्रियधारणाम् अप्रमत्तस्तदा भवति योगो हि प्रभवाप्ययौ ताम योगम इति मन्यन्ते ताम योगम इति मन्यन्ते ताम योगम इति मन्यन्ते ताम ताम मीन्स दैट स्टेट ऑफ अब्सॉर्प्शन मेंशनड इन द प्रीवियस श्लोक दैट वी जस्ट वेंट थ्रू ताम योगम इति मन्यन्ते इट इज आल्सो कॉल्ड योगः सो द प्रैक्टिस इज आल्सो कॉल्ड योगः एंड द डेस्टिनेशन आल्सो इज कॉल्ड योग बोथ सो द मीन्स एंड द एंड बोथ आर कॉल्ड योग एंड हियर द वर्ड योग That means, you know, we have mentioned earlier, the word yoga can have different meanings based on the context. Here the word yoga means the end, which is the absorption of the mind. Samadhi is called yoga. So, yoga manyante refers to nirvikalpa, nirvikalpaka samadhim manyante. It is a state of absorption. And that state of absorption of what? Thiram indriya dharanam. All the sense organs. Are sthira, they are all unwavering, they are all firm, steady, undistracted, they are restful, unflickering. So, indriya dharanam means all the sense organs are kept silent and holding the sense organs, dharana, it is not adequate if you quieten the sense organs alone, it should remain quiet for a length of time. You can quieten it, let us say, for 1 minute. And the next minute, if it is going to wander again, there is no use. It should remain quiet for a length of time. Therefore, sthiram indriya dharanam, that is called samadhi. And when a person is trying to focus the mind, initially, he will not be able to focus because it's very difficult. For many people, focus may take place immediately, but the problem is they are not able to retain. They may be able to focusing for a few seconds. Mind within that few seconds itself may wander here and there. Any sound, anything that happens, any phone that rings, they immediately are distracted. Even without that, they will be distracted. For example, when we start this is true whenever I used to do in-person classes. Till Yovedada Swara Prokto is recited, if the mind is totally absorbed in the class, not turning here and there, who comes, who left, who sleeps, instead of seeing any of those. So from the start till the final shloka is recited, then if a mind could be like that, then that person has got a mind which is your real instrument. But the problem is, there are so many distractions are there. Even if it is not external, many internal distractions come. And apramattaha bhavati, not only I should focus, but until shravanam is over, I should be able to retain attention span 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Some people may have, you know, even after 10 minutes, they will doze off. It has to be there all the time. So, since that is initially very difficult, apramattaha bhavet, one should be alert to avoid distraction. That's what Krishna said in the Gita, yato yato nischarati manas chanchalam asthiram tatas tato niyamyetate atman evam vasham nayet. That's what Krishna said. And we all had this faculty when? As a child. When they want some TV show or something, some video game, try to distract them, very difficult. You can try to change the talk in so many different ways, finally they will come back to that. But the same, in the name of growth and sophistication, we lost that ability and we are now trying to retrieve that faculty which we had before. Every child, every one of us had that faculty as a child. As we grew, we lost that ability. But in the name of growth and sophistication, we lost them. So, apramattaha bhavet, one should be alert at the time of meditation. And why should one be so? Why should one be alert? Because yogo hi prabhava apyayau. Yoga or concentration is subject to arrival and departure. Prabhava apyayau. This arrival departure is called prabhava apyayaha here. Yogaha. Yogaha means this focusing, this or concentration. Since mind is subject to flickering, you know, we mentioned about the Deepa example. One has to train the mind not to flicker, not to waver. But the nature of mind is to flicker. Sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. That is the definition Acharya gave in Tattva Bodha. So one has to use the intellect. Nischayatmika buddhihi. One has to use the intellect to make the mind quietened. And remember, it has nothing to do with Vedanta. It's only a preparation. It is an aside tutorial college exercise, perhaps. In India, we got aside tutorial college, right? You go to regular college and one goes to tutorial college also. Practice with Rama or Krishna or any Ishta Devata or flame or Omkara. And once you succeed in that, the mind is ready for Vedanta Shravanam. So, Yoga Abhyasa is prescribed as a part of Upasana here. And suppose a person has not done this Yoga Abhyasa, then what happens? Generally, when such a person comes to Vedanta, listening generally does not take place. He is sitting there, the ears are open, nothing enters. Our listening is generally superficial or with lot of breaks, lot of discontinuities. So, listening will not be powerful at all. And when it is not powerful, then the knowledge will not have any total impact on this person at all. No impact. It will appear as if an academic and powerful information. That's all he will get. If that listening skill is there, then shravana matrena jnanam mokshasya bhavataha. By just listening, the person will be able to gain the required knowledge for gaining moksha. It is enough. Shankaracharya very clearly says, shravanam is enough. But I have not developed the focusing capacity through upasana and yoga abhyasa. For a person who has developed that capacity, very shravanam itself is enough. Then if it is not so, what should I do? After shravanam, as a part of nididhyasanam, I should practice this yoga abhyasa. What should have been done before should be practiced later. If a person has already done this, no need to practice it later after shravanam. If not, one has to practice it. But when you practice it later, there is only a slight difference. Instead of focusing on Krishna or Rama or any chakra, you now focus on the very teaching itself. If the teacher taught Aham Brahmasmi, you focus on that teaching. Before Vedanta Shravanam, Yoga Abhyasa involves Saguna Ishvara focusing. But after Vedanta Shravana, the same focusing we practice by reliving the Shravana. Whatever we heard in Shravanam, we keep on focusing on that teaching. Bring back the teaching and take the relevant aspect of the teaching and remain in the aspect for a length of time. So that you will be able to assimilate it, which is called Nididhyasanam. So, either Upasana before or Nididhyasana later, Yoga Abhyasa makes the mind deep. That is a preparatory step. And in a deep mind alone, the teaching can give its fullest impact. Otherwise, it won't. A deep mind is a prepared mind. And so, Yama Dharmaraja says, you have to practice this yoga. That's what he says. Shloka 12. Naiva vachana manasa praptum shakyona chakshusha astiti bruvaton yatra katham tatuva labhyate. It's another important and preparatory shloka step here. The value that is being highlighted here. In the previous two shlokas, Yoga Abhyasa as part of Upasana or Nididhyasana was highlighted. Now, another important value is discussed in this shloka, which is Shraddha, faith. Faith in what? Faith in the existence of Nirgunam, of Brahma. It is highlighted because the more the scriptures describe the Nirgunam Brahma, the more we begin to doubt its existence. Because we say, we cannot hear, we cannot smell, ashabdam, arupam, agandam, asparsham, arasam. That's what we say about Nirguna Brahma. No attributes. Not available for any sense organs. Not for any instrument of cognition, knowledge, like telescope, microscope. It is not available for any of them. At least, can it be conceived? No, achintyam. It cannot be conceived either. Then at least, can I prove it logically? No, it is not available for logic also. Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya. We already saw it earlier in Katopanishad itself. So, by listening to all these descriptions, what will be our conclusion about Nirguna Brahma? That Brahman is empty or Shunyam. They give a shloka also for that. Shankaracharya says, your description of Brahman is like the following shloka. That's what he says. Mriga Trishnabhasi Snataha Kupushpakrita Shekaraha ఏష వంద్యాసుతోయాతి సచ శృంగ ధనుర్ధరః. హియర్ ఇస్ అ పర్సన్, సమ్ పర్సన్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్. హూ ఇస్ హీ? ద సన్ ఆఫ్ అ వంద్య, ఏ వంద్య హూ కెనాట్, ఏ స్త్రీ హూ కెనాట్ బ్యార్ చిల్డ్రన్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ లైక్ ద సన్ ఆఫ్ దట్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్. అండ్ ఆల్రెడీ వీ గాట్ ద డౌట్, హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ పాసిబుల్ యూ కెనాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ చైల్డ్ ఫర్ అ వంద్యా స్త్రీ? అండ్ హౌ ఇస్ హీ గోయింగ్? మృగ తృష్ణాంబసి స్నాతః, హీ హాస్ టేకన్ బాత్ వేర్ ఆఫ్టర్ టేకింగ్ ఎ స్నానం ఇన్ మిరాజ్ వాటర్స్, నాట్ రియల్ వాటర్స్. సో ఆల్రెడీ వీఆర్ నాట్ బిలీవింగ్ దట్ వంద్యా సన్. నౌ దిస్ పర్సన్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఆఫ్టర్ టేకింగ్ బాత్ ఇన్ మిరాజ్ వాటర్స్. అండ్ కుపుష్పకృత శేఖర, హీ హాస్ డెక్డ్ హిస్ హెడ్ విత్ ఫ్లవర్స్. ఫ్రమ్ వేర్? ఫ్రమ్ ద స్కై. హీ హాస్ గాట్ ఆల్ ద ఫ్లవర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద స్కై, హీ ఈస్ పుట్టింగ్ దమ్ ఆల్. అండ్ హీ హాస్ గాట్ ఆల్సో ఎ బో మేడ్ అప్ ఆఫ్ అ స్పెషల్ మెటీరియల్. సచ శృంగ ధనుర్ధర, దిస్ ధనుహు హిస్ బో ఇస్ మేడ్ అప్ ఆఫ్ ఎ రాబిట్స్ హార్న్. అండ్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఆల్ దీస్. వాట్ డూ యూ థింక్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఎంటైర్ టీచింగ్? దే సే సచ్ ఎ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ నిర్గుణం బ్రహ్మ. సో నిర్గుణం బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ నాట్ సంథింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ అవైలబుల్ ఫార్ మీ టు అండర్స్టాండ్. సో ఐ గెట్ ద ఐడియా దట్ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి ఎంప్టీనెస్ by having all, because all these things are not possible. So this is the natural conclusion of any thinking intellect. And not only that, even philosophers have found nirgunam brahma as mind boggling. Even Vedantins, they find it mind boggling, and therefore even they do not accept it. So Visishtadvaitam does not accept nirgunam brahma. Dvaitam, Sankhya, Yoga, all of them do not accept nirgunam brahma. Because when I say it is free from all attributes, our conclusion will be it is not there. How come there could be something without any attribute? And so if you should get nirguna brahma jnanam, first thing required is what? First you should have shraddha. You should believe in it. Believe in what? In the scriptures. Have faith that there is nirguna brahma. Because scriptures say so. I am not able to conceive of it. It looks shunyam, empty, but still let me have faith in it until I go through the systematic teaching for a length of time, learning. Then ultimately I will understand I am never able to objectify nirgunam brahma, because, not because it is not there, but because it happens to be the very subject itself. To understand this secret, we have to listen for a long time. One time if you listen, it will be casual. Second time, maybe some doubt. Third time, more doubts. It keeps on growing, doubts. And finally, one has to go through a long, lengthy listening and again inquiry. And so until you grasp this, what we should have? We should have faith. We should think, yes, it should be true because scriptures have said it. I have not been able to only understand. Let me again think and understand. So he says, naiva vacha na manasa praptum shakyaha. This Brahman cannot be grasped by words. Naiva vacha, representing actually the karmendriyas. Here vak means karmendriyas. Nor the mind. Na chakshusha, representing the nanendriyas. So it cannot be visualized, grasped by any karmendriyas, organs of action, or any sense organs. In fact, it cannot be grasped by anything. Because why? It is the very grasper. And asti iti bruvataha. This can be understood only by one who believes in that nirgunam brahma. Unless you believe in nirgunam brahma, one cannot understand. Until he understands, I am that. Shraddhavan labate jnanam. Krishna has very heavily borrowed this from Katopanishad. So asti iti bruvataha eva praptum shakyaha. Shraddhavan alone can gain. The person who has Shraddha alone can gain. Anyatra, for all others, all others means Ashraddhavan, he is so impatient without an open mind, so he rejects the teaching and the teacher both. Yes, he has no Shraddha. Katham tadubalapai tat upalabhyate. How can he ever own up that Brahman? Such a person, without faith, how can he ever own up that Brahman? This is not a question, but this is an answer. He can never own up. So, Shraddha is very important. Shloka 13. Astityevopalabdhavyah tattvabhavena chobayoh astityevopalabdhasya tattvabhava prasidati. So when a person, he has faith in the existence of Nirgunam Brahma, he uses the expression Brahma Asti. He says Brahman is there. And if he starts Vedanta with this faith, in due course of teaching, what will happen? Brahman is will be converted to Brahman I am. That is what it will be changed to. Brahma Asti will become Brahman I am. He begins with the idea that Brahman is a third person. It is an object elsewhere. But after the teacher unfolds, he understands that that Brahman is I am. So converting isness to amness is the journey. So in Vedanta, what is the journey? Brahman is should become Brahman am. Asti. So when you say Brahma Asti, it is called Shraddha or Paroksha Jnana. And when you say Brahma Asmi, it is called Aparoksha Jnanam, or here as Yamadharma Raja calls it, Tattva Bhavaha. Tattva Bhavaha here means Aparoksha Jnanam. Tattva Bhavaha means the real nature of Brahman. And what is that? Being myself. That is the real nature of Brahman, owning up. So that Tattva Bhavaha or Aparoksha Jnanam or Aikyam, that becomes evident in this knowledge. But Brahma Asmi is not possible directly. One cannot directly get that knowledge. You have to start with what? Brahma Asti. So you have to start with that faith. Yes, Brahman is there. And only when you start there, you can grow to the level where you will say Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi. So Brahma Nasti to Brahma Asmi is not at all possible. But Brahma Nasti to Brahma Asti to Brahma Asmi is possible. So Brahma Nasti to Brahma Asmi, one cannot directly go. From Brahma Nasti, one has to go to Brahma Asti. And from Brahma Asti to Brahma Asmi. Now if you look at the shloka, Asti iti eva upalabdhavyaha. In the beginning stages, Brahman has to be grasped as a third person only. Even though it is not, you assume as though it is a third person. It is upalabdhavyaha. And thereafter, tattva bhavena cha. We don't stop with that. Later you have to grasp it in its real nature. And what do we mean by tattva bhavena? Brahman asmi iti upalabdhavyaha. So tattva bhavena should be translated as what? Brahman asmi iti upalabdhavyaha. We need not know too much in Sanskrit. Asti means is and asmi means am. So is to am is the journey, as I mentioned earlier. So ubayoho, between these two methods of understanding or two ways of grasping Brahman, which one should be in the beginning? Asti iti upalabdhasya brahmanaha. So Brahman has to be first grasped as asti. Only that Brahman alone later becomes what? Tattva bhavaha prasidati. Only with respect to Brahman, tattva bhava is possible. Tattva bhavaha means Brahma asmi iti aikyam. I am Brahman, that knowledge. So prasidati becomes favorably disposed for self-revelation, understanding. So, from Paroksha Jnanam, one has to go to Aparoksha Jnanam. From Shraddha to Aparoksha Jnanam, from faith. So, these are the two stages everyone has to go through. First to Shraddha and then to Aparoksha Jnanam. So, what is the next preparatory discipline? Shraddha. That's what he says. So, Yoga Abhyasa is already told. Then Shraddha also is given. And with this, Yamadharmaraja concludes the qualification discussion. So all the qualifications required for gaining self-knowledge is concluded with this particular shloka. And we will continue with the rest of the discussions in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.